I hope you're having a fine day thus far. It's good, isn't it, that we can carve out these few moments each weekday to be together with one another. And what makes this time so satisfying is the Bible, because herein we read about our Lord Jesus Christ. The Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are never boring and impossible to put down once we start reading and understanding them. How tragic for those who do not know the power of Jesus to do miracles in the lives of real people in real time and recorded for all time in these pages. To know Christ means to read Christ in the Word of God, and that is what we're all about here on God Is. And today we are back in Luke chapter 8. What I will say today is part of our ongoing conversation on the power of God. God is power. Yes, that is His name, as we have said. And thus far, in just this one chapter, we have seen Jesus calm the storm, cast out demons from a man, and now we're halfway through the encounter between Jesus and a woman that he singles out from a massive crowd of people pressing in against him. When we left off last time, Jesus had asked a question and has quite the purpose for asking it. Today, we will find out what that is. But let me set the context by rereading Luke 8, verses 43 to 48. This is Luke chapter 8, verses 43 to 48. And a woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years and could not be healed by anyone came up behind Jesus and touched the fringe of his cloak, and immediately the hemorrhage stopped. And Jesus said, "Who is the one who touched me?" And while they were all denying it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing in on you." But Jesus said, "Someone did touch me, for I was aware the power had gone out from me." When the woman saw that she had not escaped notice, she came trembling and fell face down before Jesus and declared in the presence of all the people the reason why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Let's go to Jesus' question in verse 45. Who is the one who touched me? It would be natural in a crowd this size for someone to have bumped into the Lord. And this is precisely Peter's response in verse 45. Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing in on you." And then all the people were denying it. In other words, what kind of a question is this, Jesus? The one? Lord, it could have been anyone. But Jesus does not stop there. He presses in verse 46, "Someone did touch me, for I was aware the power had gone out from me." Aha! This is why Jesus asked the question. He was aware that power had gone out from him. I'll say more on that in a minute, but what I want to emphasize here is the purpose of the question. Jesus wants to draw the nameless woman out of the crowd. He succeeds. Listen again to verse 47. When the woman saw that she had not escaped notice, she came trembling and fell face down before Jesus. She's exposed, and she must have been embarrassed that Jesus called her out. She likely hoped that she could sneak up amidst the crowd, touch Jesus' garment, and slip away again healed, but unnoticed. Notice carefully that verse 47 says, "She came," when she realized Jesus was calling for her. "She came" indicates that she was walking away from the Lord when he asked for her. But then she comes before her healer and trembling falls down before him. Verse 47 continues, "She declared in the presence of all the people the reason why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed." The crowd listens and she speaks. The woman must have then felt safe because she tells everyone why she touched Jesus and how when she did that, her bleeding stopped immediately. This 12-year affliction was over, finished. The power of Jesus had done it. In the woman's declaration, we see then when Jesus asked his question, "Who is the one who touched me?" Jesus knows what her testimony will reveal. Everyone there that day will know that the power of God is a healing power. And there's more. Jesus asks for the person who touched him to identify herself because he knows that he has delivered her, not just from a physical illness, but also a social disease. As we talked about yesterday, and you can get the podcast of that broadcast if you missed it, the hemorrhage made her ceremonially unclean due to Jewish law. She was an outcast. Anyone who touched her, any contact at all, even with where she sat, exposed themselves to uncleanliness as well. And so she was on her own. But now, because of her healing, an act of truly liberating this woman, Jesus asked her to tell the crowd, in essence, "I am clean. I am clean. I am clean. Now you can touch me. You can sit where I sit. You can welcome me back into your homes. We can once again enjoy being together. And I can go to the temple and worship my God. Wow, what joy. Look at what Jesus has done for me." You can have a testimony like this woman's if you will have faith in Jesus Christ. Are you struggling with something that makes you ashamed? This woman was bleeding, a physical ailment that negatively affected her relationships with other people. Maybe that is the very situation in which you find yourself today. In whatever way you need healing, the shame has driven you into a very private world. Maybe you think, if people only knew this about me, they'd... You fill in the blank. But when Jesus comes and finds that you are alive to him by faith, when he knows that you believe in him, and his power goes out from him to you, then you will be healed, and suddenly you will declare your testimony before the crowd such that you no longer have any shame. Christ has set you free. But to do so, you must have faith in Christ. Then you can receive his power. As we complete our look at this interaction between Jesus and this woman, I want you to highlight the engagement between power and faith, faith and power. In verse 46, Jesus speaks, "Someone did touch me, for I was aware that power had gone out from me." And in verse 48, Jesus speaks again, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." If you have your Bible there, circle power in verse 46 and faith in verse 48. They go together, Christ's power and our faith. What caused Jesus' power to go out from him? Let me ask it this way, as commentator W.H. Griffith Thomas does, was it her finger or her faith? Yes, her finger reached out and touched the tassel on Jesus' cloak, but Jesus tells her that it was her faith in him that drew out his power. This woman could physically touch Jesus, and she did. But the touch is not what healed. Her faith in Jesus, the God-man, healed her. Today we cannot see Jesus, can we? He is not physically present to us, therefore we cannot touch him. Physical touch is not possible. But by having faith in him, we can definitely be recipients of his power, and that is a healing power. I have people ask me, "Does Jesus still heal today?" My answer is always, yes. Jesus can heal sick people today. He heals us of our sin, the greatest of all the diseases and afflictions. He can heal us physically, mentally, and emotionally. Of course he can, but he does not always. Sometimes God chooses to heal, and sometimes God chooses not to heal. I think that's obvious. For example, I know of believers who have cancer, and we've prayed as a church for God, if it be his will, to heal that person. And when the results of the cancer screening come back, sure enough, the disease is gone. Even the doctors are perplexed. And yet, I know just as many believers who have died, and the cause of death is cancer, some of them taken by our loving God in the prime of their lives. In one person, God chose to heal, and in another, he did not choose to heal. And yet, God can still heal. And of this I am confident, what Jesus never does anymore is to heal through some other person. I do not believe in the ever-popular quote-unquote faith healing or faith healers. There is not a person alive today who can heal another person the way Jesus healed this woman, because no person has the power that Jesus has. Only God has this power, and he does not share that power with anyone. Even that pastor on television, who sure looks like he can heal, and invites you to his events so that you can be rid of your affliction. He's a charlatan after your money. Keep away. Look, as Jesus himself teaches, if you are in need of healing, have faith in Christ and ask for his power in your body, in your mind, and in your spirit. And you can do that right now from where you are seated without paying any money. Have faith in Christ. Oh, and still visit with your medical doctor, your Christian counselor and such. So let me be clear. When you are sick, as this woman was, I believe in going to see the physician. When I say that there is not a person alive today who has the power to heal another person, I mean permanently. I mean immediately and without any medical device or medications. Surely your doctor can take some measures that heal. I know that. I myself see the doctor for my annual physical and whenever I feel unwell. All of us should do that. But again, behind all healing is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the great physician. But for any permanent healing, that must be received directly from the Lord without passing through any human hand that descends on your body. This is the testimony of the Scripture. Please do not miss the interaction here between the faith of the woman and the power of the Christ. As we finish, notice two more things in verse 48. Jesus calls the woman daughter. This is the only time Jesus uses daughter to address a woman in the Gospels. How comforting. God's Son has called you daughter. It's lovely. And then Jesus ends with this, go in peace. How reassuring is this? It's like Jesus was saying, you can go now, my daughter. Your faith has made you well. I've drawn you out of the crowd because I wanted everyone here today to see my healing power displayed in your body. My peace I give you. Now you may go. I picture her no longer slouched over in shame, but rather running upward, set free, healed, going back to wherever she came from, full of faith in Jesus Christ. Her faith has saved her from her sin, and her faith has made her well. And now she will forever be a living, breathing testimony of Christ's goodness. Friends, this is another example of the power of God in a person who has faith in Him. And tomorrow, we will find this again in a man named Jairus. So join me then, for God is...